America. Now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered, for the years of silent apathy. To God we now repent, for the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, and it is June 1st, 2024. Another month has gone by. It just seems like time has just been sped up and going by awful fast, but we do appreciate you joining us this morning. Before we go to we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the directions that we are to go. We pray that you just assist us this morning. And Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. It is an exciting time. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world. Tim, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
And good morning. Josh is supposed to be joining us here in just a few minutes, but you know, before we get started, it's well, I guess go ahead and getting started. It's you know, a lot of things going on in the world today, and I guess one of the big things that is being talked about is, you know, 34 felony indictments against former President Trump. And I don't know if anybody's dealt in too big into that or looked at all what all the counts and all the charges are. But I mean, I've looked at some of this stuff, and I mean, you're just talk about a kangaroo court. I don't know. Has anybody had time to look at any of that stuff?
I haven't put a lot of time into it, but I did do a casual glance over, and it's like, yeah, there were one of the things I seen in there that absolutely is a first for any type of judiciary situation there is it's like multiple choice crimes. You know, we're going to try and we don't know which one he did for sure, but we're giving you three choices, so you guys can pick one. It's like, you know, I mean, clearly in our country, the stated matter and right to face your accusers and the right to be accused of a particular crime shows you that, one, this isn't our country anymore, and two, the judiciary system, which we all know, those of us, you know, here know, probably most of our listeners do, that it's been a bunch of bunk for a long time. Those people, they just change the rules, do whatever they want. It's like, it's just the best description is what you said, kangaroo court. I mean, it's like, it deserves no respect. So, yeah.
And that's what I'm seeing in it, too. It's you know, you look into this, and it's just like, I mean, it's chaos. And we knew that he wasn't going to get a fair trial out of that. You know, you just look. You look at what who the jury was and the statements that came out from them. And you know, and I don't want to get into this. You know, this whole Trump. I know people that are out there that have, you know, written us letters and said, you know, quit sending me your newsletter because you don't say enough bad stuff about Trump. And it's like, okay. And some of these people, they hate Trump so much that it makes them look like really good Biden supporters. And I don't want to go there, but it's, you know, you talk about justice, there is no, they call it a justice system, and there was definitely not justice in that scenario.
Right on. Yeah, it's justiceless. Yeah, they, pandemonium and confusion. I mean, good grief. And the other thing is, you know, they go through that whole thing and they want all this money for bail and for everything else. But, you know, you can murder somebody in some of these states anymore and you're out on bailless. You're out with bailless number.
Well,
you know, the next morning or that day. I mean, yeah, so.
Well, and one of the things that we've been talking about is just the divisions and stuff. And I watched a video this morning that I got in from Canada, and Derek shared it with me, and it was on one of the premiers of Ontario, standing next to Justin Trudeau, and he was talking about, you know, we don't want you to come here. He's talking about these people coming in from Hamas. And different stuff. They're supposed to have like 5,000. I think it's 5,000 immigrant families that you know, they were going to give basically refuge to. And talking about it, you know, if you're not going to come here to support Canada, we don't want you. And I mean, and it was just the controversy. You could see it in Justin Trudeau's eyes when he gazed over at Doug Ford, and it was just, I mean, the division was obvious, and it was you could tell that there was just there were some lines that were being crossed there, and it was interesting. And I mean, we're seeing it on so many different fronts. And one of the things that I got a sound clip that I want to play here in just a second, and I think it's really telling, and it's something that you know, it's something that is getting more mainstream, and I believe that they are losing their veil, losing their power, so to speak. But it's about a 2.5-minute sound clip, and I'm going to go ahead and I'll play that right now.
Christopher, you need to stop.
Who's in control? Who was in charge of the CDC that was controlling and telling our government to shut down small businesses and what they recommend for the mandates and the vaccines and Pfizer and all? At the time when COVID was being enacted, I'm going to read off the staff of who's in charge of this CDC. The director of the CDC was Rochelle Walensky, dual citizenship with Israel. She's a Jew. Deputy director of the CDC, Ann Schwalchik, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. CDC Chief of Staff, Sherry Berger, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. CDC Chief Medical Officer, Mitchell Wolf, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. CDC Director of the Washington Office. This is pertinent to the topic. We're talking about COVID, right? Yeah. This since this is pertinent to COVID. So, I love you, Jennifer. Yeah, please. So, director of the CDC of the Washington office, Jeff Rezik, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. COVID czar, Jeff Zients, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. COVID senior advisor, Andy Slavitt, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Assistant of Health Secretary for Human Services for our country, the Assistant of Health Secretary, Rachel Levine, transgender,
Brennan,
dual citizenship with Israel,
please?
S. Jew.
Can I ask that you hold off, Christopher?
Ma'am, I'm almost done.
Mr. Wood, the chair has ruled that your comments are out of order. She's asked you to stop.
He said Jew. There's nothing wrong with Jew. It's not derogatory.
Exactly. Okay, keep on going. Head of Pfizer Vaccines,
again,
Albert Bourla, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Pfizer Chief Scientist, Michael Dost, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Moderna Chief Scientist, Paul Zaks, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. BlackRock, everyone know BlackRock? BlackRock CEO, Larry Fink, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. I said we're willing to sacrifice our ego, our reputation, and our lives.
Seconds.
Yes, ma'am, and I love you, and I appreciate your patience. BlackRock President Rob Capital, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. The CDC Chief Medical Officer of Johnson & Johnson, Joanne Waldstreicher, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Chief Medical Officer of Merck, Michael Rosenthal, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. Head Advisor of the World Economic Forum, Yuval Harari, dual citizenship with Israel, Jew. And that's all he's talking about.
Christopher, you need to stop.
And there it was. And this is a video that somebody sent me, and I seen it, and I looked it up right away, and I knew I had to get it downloaded because it was going to be pulled. And sure enough, most of the places that I was seeing it, it was getting a lot of views on it. And then it was just disappearing and vanishing, and it was really interesting because it was just like it vanished out of thin air, and I wanted to make sure and get that downloaded so I at least had the audio of it, but I don't know, could you hear that very well?
I sound really good here. You couldn't hear it?
No, I don't hear well anyway, but I mean, it was just nothing that I got out of it.
Okay. Anyway, it was the audio, and it was from a meeting, and a guy was basically explaining who all these people that were involved in COVID were, and their dual citizenship with Israel, and how they were Jewish. And, you know, it's one of those things that I really feel like it's getting out there, and this stuff is becoming. I mean, it's people are understanding it. People are waking up to this fact.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting. I heard in the background somebody said, "Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a Jew." And it's like, no, but here's the deal. Okay, if you'd have said that those people were all, I don't know, Swedish or German or all of those people had dual citizenship in that country, people have been like, well, that's a little bit strange. You know, what's going on here? I mean, what kind of conspiracy is this? But, you know, when you say that, they have that, you know, they have that anti-Semitic protocol kick in. So we can't even look at that. It's just like, no, that's a bad thing. It's like, just be intellectually honest and just. Would you just try? So, yeah, I think it's interesting, too.
You know, go back to the Trump thing. The Bible says, curse the man that trusts in man. You know, these people that are fighting us have no problem taking somebody out that's a serious threat. Now, I don't really know what's going on here. I won't get behind him, but I won't condemn him either because he's got a lot of right stuff, but he's got some other crap in his background that just ain't right. He's not against the Jews or anything like that. He's got a son-in-law who's a Jew and stuff like that. There's something fishy about this whole story. But the American people are looking for a leader for righteousness. Just don't grab onto the wrong one. And it's all about personal looking in that mirror and judging yourself. And this is what it's coming down to. America has forgotten God, period. You know, he's not opposed to God. He lets people talk like that, but I'm not so sure what his motives are, because I know our enemies have no problem taking somebody out that's a serious threat.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, and there's just so many. I was thinking about what you were talking about there with a lot of just like that. They're pulling that article down or that information down that guy was putting out, and it's there. It's back. I'd seen it a while back when it came out too. And the deal is there is all kinds of people think they're more informed now than they ever were, and I'm not so sure that back in the days of the grapevine and the printed newspaper, we didn't have a lot better information. But, you know, the fact of the matter is there's millions of misdirects out there every day, or thousands, however you want to look at it. I mean, they hang around, so they pile up. But there's a lot of misdirects out there about what's going on in the world in general today, not to mention new ones that come down. And there's a whole, not just the misdirects. The other thing is, there's a lot of stuff that they disappear or that never even makes it, you know, to being told for information purposes that might be important. And, you know, we see that we think we understand all that. I mean, we've got huge numbers of upticks of Chinese coming across the border. We've got one of the things that I seen today was just happened here a couple days ago. And I know it's like I feel like I harp on it sometimes, but we had another chicken egg laying unit burned down Wabash Valley Produce and down by Farina, Illinois. 1.2 million chickens described as one of the largest free-range laying facilities in the United States. So, you know, when you see some of that kind of stuff, now it's just they're. We're under attack all the time. They literally are attacking God's people. The problem is a lot of them are asleep or unknowing about it because there's no one tapping them on the shoulder and saying, hey, wake up. This is going on. They're attacking your food. They're attacking your land. They're attacking your justice system and they're changing it from, you know, what it should be or what God intended for it to be to something you're not even recognizing. You know, we were talking the other day, and if our grandparents were to show up today, some of us, I mean, hell, what do you think they'd think of what they've seen? They'd be shocked, I think. You know, I'd be like, how did this happen? So, but there it is.
Amen. Well, and I see that we got Josh on the line now. Good morning, Josh.
Morning, sir. Morning, sir. But, Tim, it's just been such a slow, gradual erosion, you know, that it isn't just hard to put your finger on in one particular moment. There's some of them whenever it speeds up for sure, but they just chip at it a little bit at a time so as not to make it too uncomfortable and awaken a sleeping giant.
Yep, I agree. It's like you just got to wake up and start looking. I think it might be bigger, though, than a lot of times than what we think. I mean, we think it's a boiling pot. We've talked about that, you know, with the frog and a lot of those things. But I think there's a lot of the fire that's hidden or a lot of the other things that are hidden. You know, we don't find out about it till 2 or 3 years later. It's like, I didn't know that was going on, you know. I mean, I might have responded to that. So, you know, but.
Well, yeah. A lot of times it's at that point where the conspiracy theories actually turn into history.
Exactly.
Like, oh, yeah.
Right.
That is what happened.
Like, what is it? The conspiracy theorist who now identifies as a reality expert.
Well, and I seen it, you know, that article that you sent me, Tim, on how China owning so much stuff in America, too. And I think that this is kind of, I mean, we've talked about it some more. And it's, you know, these illegals that are crossing the border, you know, all the way back from 21 is what this article is going back to. And how it's, you know, the number of them that basically they've got an army of Chinese that are here. And then, you know, how much, how they've been buying up all the farmland, 29 states buying up farmland, Chinese, largest meat suppliers in America now. I mean, you talk about, you know, insanity. And, you know, this week it was, you know, I was talking with somebody else, and they were telling me about the Pakistanis that are coming across the border, you know, our southern border. When you think about, you know, these illegals coming across the border, it used to be that we thought about, you know, Mexicans. Now it's, you know, it's Colombians, Ecuador, you name it, but Pakistanis coming, it's like, and you just got to stop and think, okay, so how are they getting there?
Yes.
And, you know, you're talking about people that are coming across the border in United States, walking across the border. I mean, maybe they're in vehicles, but I think most of them are walking, from what I understand. But you know, Pakistanis. Now just add that to the list of invading forces that are coming across the border. And
but that's another one of those things where it's not going to matter until it matters. Like one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be like, oh crap.
Yeah.
And everybody's just different. Talking about it, but not doing anything about it. And like you said, before you know it, it's going to be an army and within your camp, you know, within the compound.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just watching some of the House committees talking to the ATF on some of these illegal, an exponential gun licensee shutdowns and fines, and one of the things that the lame guy who's running the thing's talking about is the fact that, oh well, you know, we're trying to protect American citizens from people coming over the border and arming all these people with guns. And you know, a lot of times the things that they say are really interesting to me, because it's like they expose themselves in the backwater comments. And one of them was, okay, he admitted right there that we have a military force coming across the border that's trying to arm themselves. Do I believe they're arming themselves through our dealers? No. I mean, you know, we got 60,000 people here, 50,000 people there coming across the border. Obviously, you don't go into the, you know, gun shop across the border on the U.S. side and walk in there and go, hey, I need like 20,000 whatevers, you know, and plunk down some cash. That just doesn't work. So someone is taking care of that issue, but nevertheless, he admits that we are in danger of armed conflict by invaders from that border. And those people that are coming over here, they're from a lot of them are from a whole different continent.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, you got to jump through hoops now with the anytime you buy a firearm, with your identification and background check and all this stuff. So if they're doing any of the stuff that they do to me, to any of them, you know, they should never be able to get a firearm anyway. The way it is right now. Much less.
You're not wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the other thing is they're getting ready to change presidents down there in Mexico, and they're saying that this new Claudia Sheinbaum, whatever, however you say her name is, that she's the next president to be. And, you know, people are talking about, you know, oh, it's going to be the first time that they have a woman president down there in Mexico. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, a woman, okay, yeah, but a Jewish woman head of Mexico, that could get really interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a little strange, different.
But, I mean, and that's what she is, and that's what she claims to be is a Jew. And it's like, okay, so you get that. I mean, we're already know that we are at war with Mexico, and now that could just change. I believe that could change things a lot.
Yeah, it changes the whole dynamic of interrelationships between the U.S. to some degree, and definitely, I don't know. I mean, I don't honestly know. I was trying to find out how much participation Mexico had in, the Jewish state over there's affairs as far as financially or militarily or something. I was having trouble finding any information, even kind of from more official sites. I don't know if anybody else had any luck with that, but it was like, maybe they're getting I don't know. I don't imagine they're going to send all their illegal aliens over there to help with that situation. But what exactly the plan is there? But
well, and yeah, I just got a text, and it's a good point. It's and I believe it. So it says that the cartels will be providing the weapons when it's time. And if you've seen how these cartels are armed now in Mexico, it is impressive. I mean, you're talking about, you know, it's not like you, and I don't even think that it's like most of the time what they're showing on TV or anything like that. But I've seen video footage and some and a lot of pictures. And I mean, they're armed with Barrett 50 caliber machine guns, armored personnel carriers, vehicles. I'm wearing body armor. I mean, they look like this is the cartels that we're talking about, and they look like a very well organized army. And if you see them, that's what they look like. And they've got weapons from all different kinds of manufacturers from all over the world.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people fail to understand is the sheer amount of money that those people have. I mean, it's almost inconceivable, and it's almost all cash. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people talk about laundering money. Well, it's only a big deal if you want to go legal and don't have any problem as far as the cartels go. They don't care. They are their own rule unto themselves. They have their own military, they have their own training, and they have more money than a lot of countries do at their disposal to buy, train, do whatever, who hire whoever they want to do or whatever they want to do. And I don't want to paint some picture on it like it's something unovercomable, because with God all things are, but we just don't, you know, I see some things go by. I was talking there the other day, like you and I were talking, Jason, and here's a house, one of their cash houses they find, and this place is, I mean, you know, it's literally money from top to bottom. I mean, you know, bales and pallets full of cash. That's just one out of, you know, thousands of them they have. So they don't, what do they do with them? What do they do with that? Well, it's not all just laying there doing nothing. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that makes it. And we also know that if you have that kind of money, that you could buy influence, that you could buy, you know, you could buy weapons. And, you know, everybody's worried about them buying American weapons. They can buy weapons from any banana republic or any country that has weapons manufacturing. We're not the only country in the world that makes firearms or makes weapons, you know, I mean. So
well,
and lots of options.
Or just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, it wasn't that long ago, and I don't know, I think it just kind of fizzled out. But they were busting all these kinds of, copied, basically, AR-15, M-16 parts that were getting shipped in from China, and they were shipping them in all over the United States as labeled as different things. And I mean, who knows how long that had been going on before they caught, or if it's still going on. But I mean, they were shipping in receivers and bolts and basically everything. I mean, it was all disassembled as parts, from what I understood. But that was going on for a long. They were finding pallets and pallets and pallets of stuff. And you know, that's just what they reported or what we heard about. And you know, and then it was just like, okay, all right, it's gone. You know, we're not going to talk about that anymore.
Can you imagine what them pallet of bolt carriers is worth?
Tim, you talked about the influence down that the cartels have. I had a neighbor send me a link that the latest of the 23rd candidate killed in their elections that are upcoming. Mexican mayoral candidate Alfredo Cabrera assassinated at point blank range. And they've got the video, and he's the 23rd candidate in these. They talk about, oh, Mexico is free and democratic and having elections, and the cartels, that's what they do. They go around and they just assassinate the people that they don't want to run. And it's absolute lawlessness, and they do have that, talk about an undue influence in the elections. And so, yeah, it is absolute chaos down there. You know, Mexico is a vacation spot, is all but no more. And that's why you're seeing these issues in other countries as well, with people that are going to vacation there. But yeah, the cartels, and they're, you know, China is so involved in South, not just Mexico, but all of South America. You look down Mexico, Guatemala, Brazil, all the South American countries. China has such a presence there in trade with food and oil and arms, weapons, is huge down there. And as well as supplying the drugs that the bases for the drugs that come across here. So yeah, you know, if you haven't read the book of Joel, you look at Joel 2, it talks about an army of locusts, and it's not talking about crickets. But it says, Joel 2 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. And when you read through it, you see that, you read on, they have the appearance of horses. They gallop like cavalry, a mighty army drawn up for battle. And it is these untold numbers that it's talking about. And that's, you know, the land of the Israelites over there have never faced anything like that. But it certainly applies here. And when you tie that with Psalms 83, where it, you know, it talks about how all the nations have come together. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people from all the nations are being flown into Mexico so that they can come into this nation. They have all gathered together. And, yeah, it's exciting seeing this, but it was mentioned earlier. So many people are just blinded to it. They just want to, you know what Taylor Swift and Kelsey are doing, you know, this week, and tuning in to Hollywood actors ranting and raving. They're just blind to it. But it's exciting times. We're seeing biblical prophecy come alive right before our very eyes.
We've been talking about what they've been doing. Why don't we talk about what God's been doing?
Well, that's, well, you know, nature of before the vacuum. A vacuum's not going to exist. And they have turned away. I mean, they openly tout that they don't want anything to do with our God. And so, therefore, other gods have came in and taken over these lands. That's what it looks like whenever you don't want anything to do with the God of Abraham. You have not just lawlessness, but you have other small g gods that are making their laws and running those countries. And that's certainly the direction we're headed to quickly here. If we keep our back turned on God and continue to push him out of the schools and the churches and and the homes everywhere else, that's where we're headed.
Well, I walk down the street, the average person I see doesn't want nothing to do with God either, and that's the problem right there. And God's keeping his word, the alien will rule over you, and I mean, they're just about to stomp us, but God's got us something up his sleeve too. And he's bringing this against us to make us repent. This is what this is all about, because they looks like they got the upper hand, but the poor sucker are going to be dead before it's over.
Yeah, but you're right. That is, each individual person is responsible for their part of it. Yeah, I'm not trying to say that it's a safe thing. There's nothing that we can do. I mean, like I said, it's the individual people walking down the street is us that are the ones that are steering the churches, that are steering the government, the whole ship, away from God and towards hell.
Now, when we wake up and repent, then God will fight our battles, and we don't have to worry about this stuff, because it does look overwhelming from all that we've been talking about, you know. But we are in the New Jerusalem. We're in that, and God is, it's his apple of his eye. But he gets extremely frustrated with people that won't keep his commandments. And, you know, and that is not in the Judeo-Christian church, and nothing is about the law. Nothing about baptism, remission of sin. I mean, it's just not here. You hear people talking about really good stuff, but then you get down to the core, there's nothing with them either.
Well, and as you said that, Paul, I think about the scripture that says they praise me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. You know, they like to go to churches and they like to sing the songs, oh, how I love Jesus, and they've got all these lovey-dovey songs about how they love the Lord and they love God and they love Jesus and, you know, they love his ways. But, you know, Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we know that that's truth. And, you know, I don't think people know what love is, because, and do they love him? No, absolutely not, because they kicked his law, statutes, and judgments out of the churches.
If I love my dog or my kids, you discipline them. I can't protect somebody that won't listen to me, and that there's no discipline. I see kids ruling over their parents all the time, and their grandparents, they're just drooling over them. And them kids are just craving discipline, and they know what they're doing. They'll push you they'll either get it or they won't, you know, and they're not getting it. You know, people talk about kids today. I says, yeah, look who raised them, you know. And that's the truth. I mean, we don't know. The average American person does not want the truth, and that is God's way. And he, you know, you read the book of Jasher. When they came out of Egypt, there was a group of people that didn't keep the Passover, and they buried them, and they hid it so the Egyptians wouldn't know. Then they got out in the desert, and the group wanted meat, and he gave them meat for 30 days, and then he killed them. You know, go back to Noah, the mixed races and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, he gets rid of them. He loves us. He definitely does. But he expects obedience. And that's the whole thing missing in this whole picture, is obedience to God's word. We don't punish crime. There's no jail system in God's thing. It's either restitution or execution. You know, well, you know, the lawyers come up, well, just in case we get caught, we don't want to get killed, so we'll have a jail system so we can live okay. That's my take on it. But there is no jail prison system in God's kingdom. It's restitution or execution.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is. But, and people don't even like that, because, and you hear it all the time, well, I don't like the legalistic part of church or this or that, and it's like, okay, well, that's kind of what the Bible is.
But but the rules are for our own good. It's just that we a lot of times can't see that. But it's the same as when we're raising children and you're teaching them to listen whenever you speak, and it's not because you're trying to be tyrants or mean to them. It's because if they're beside the road and there's a vehicle coming and you tell them to come to you, they don't ignore you and get out in the road and get run over. I mean, it's for their own protection. The same way that these laws are for our own protection. It's not good for you to eat pork. Can you do it? Yep, you sure can. You can do it your whole life, but you're going to have to deal with what comes along with it. And that's where the law is to guide us back to where we're supposed to be. Show us the way.
Yeah, the other day, I think it was Thursday night, I was sitting there. It was late, and I was sitting on the couch talking with my wife, and I could hear the neighbor's dog was going crazy, and there was other dogs going crazy, and then our dog started barking. I went out, I grabbed I heard the chicken start to make some noise, and so I grabbed the 12-gauge, and I stepped out the door, and said, come on, to the dog, and opened that door, and boom, that dog took off like a rocket, and it was headed right towards the chicken house. And as soon as I took a step outside, I smelled skunks, and it was like, and I said no, and I started yelling at that dog. I said, stop. stop. And that dog stopped dead in its track and turned and looked at me. And it was so hard for him because, boy, it wanted to go chase these skunks. It wanted to chase the skunks real bad. But if that dog hadn't listened, it would have been a bad deal. And that dog wouldn't have been coming back in the house. And it was it was obedience that made it where that dog could come back in the house. And she was a good dog. And if she wouldn't have listened, she would have been a bad dog. But it saved her from getting sprayed. And, you know, that's the point. It's, you know, sometimes when we obey, we don't know how big a blessing or what God is doing to protect us.
Yep. Well, and what we're saying is this, basically, Matthew 15:8, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And we have a huge group of those out there. But, you know, I don't even know the mind of God. I mean, none of us really do. But it's that heart condition is, I would like to know the mind of God. I would like to serve God. I want to serve God. And it's like, God, just bring it on. You know, you'll help me figure it out. It'll be better than it is. I don't know what it'll be. It doesn't matter. It'll be better. You know, it's like, it's that faith and that obedience of whatever you say is what I'm going to do, you know, and I think that's what we're looking at. And there's going to come a point in time when God says it's done. You know, you had your chance, you had your time, and now we're going to take care of it. There's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to be terrified, struggling with that. And it's like you've got to, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, that's the fear and trembling part. It's like, I better get this right, because it's kind of a, you know, there's a time limit on it. So we want to make sure that we get ourselves aligned with God's ideals and it's a time factor, and the clock always runs to zero. That's the other thing. You know, it will run out. The time will run out, and when it does, then what's going to happen? It's going to happen. So, I think that's you could say that with surety.
And we can blame it on whoever we want to, but at the end of the day, it's our fault.
And that's a fact. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you are responsible for you, and by extension, the members of your house. But at a certain point, they become responsible for them. You know, I mean, that's one of those deals when you're raising your children. You know, you look at them and you try to do things, but at a certain point, they become responsible for them to God. It's no longer. You may have played a part in that, and you may have delayed, obstructed, or even caused some problems there if you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing. But at the end of the day, each of us is responsible for God, for ourselves. We can't blame it on somebody else.
No, but that's what a lot of people like to do. You know, it's that's part of that entitlement attitude too. It's, you know, it ain't my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Always wanting to have somebody else to blame for it. You know, they didn't do this and they didn't do that, or they did this and they did that, you know, and just, you know, complain. And you know, some of them, you just, there's nothing you can do right. It's, you know, they always want to be pointing the finger at somebody else or something else. And it's just, it's not their fault.
It goes back to Adam and Eve. You know, God comes to Adam and says, well, she told me, and she goes to her, and she says, well, Satan told me, you know, and it says, the key is, I'm guilty. Quit blaming somebody else, you know. Take responsibility for yourself, you know, but that's human nature to blame, we had a poor childhood or whatever else it is, you know. You got to look in the mirror and say, yeah, I did it. I am guilty. The only thing that makes me righteous is Jesus' blood. So it's been going on since the Garden of Eden, and it's human nature, and it's got to go.
And I think that that's one of the important things that people need to remember is, you know, it's when we go before that throne, you know, it's guilty as charged. The only thing that makes us righteous is the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, and we know, that's why we push and teach so much on, you know, how to become a Christian and what true biblical salvation really is.
Amen. It's like it's the overcomer's creed. You know, what do you got to have to be an overcomer? Something to overcome. Every single solitary one of us that wants to serve God has things to overcome in our lives. And the only way to overcome those things is through the power, blood, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I mean, if you don't have, you know, and baptism for the remission of sins, if you don't do those items, you're not going to be an overcomer. You know, you're going to be a whiny blamer. You're going to run around and blame everybody else for your problems. So it's like get in there and dig and get in there and be an overcomer because, yep, you had a rough childhood. You dropped on your head when you were a baby or some, you know, there's a ton of things that could go wrong. How do you overcome that? Because you've got things in your life to overcome. Every one of us has, does, and do. And you got to find out where that power and where that authority to overcome those things comes from.
Well, that's the thing, you know, with us, we are the patriarchs, the leader of our families, you know, so the buck stops here. If there's something wrong in your household, it's your fault. And so, therefore, we need to get in line and fix ourselves so that we can fix everything that's in submission to us. There's no shucking any responsibility whenever you're the king. And there's an issue with that, definitely, with the men, the husbands, the fathers. I guess first not stepping up and realizing the amount of responsibility that you carry and how much it means what you say and what you do, and then secondly not doing right by it.
Well, and I think that, I mean, one of the other things that I want to talk about, I guess, for a minute here is just this, you know, we've got all this, you know, destruction over the last week. I know on Monday when I was driving home Monday night, I heard that there was over 22 people died from the different storms. And Texas got hit hard with storms. Arkansas got hit with a tornado. It seemed like there was all different kinds of things that were taking place. And I had several people that were telling me that called and left messages or sent emails and said, you know, I said, well, you know, we need to pray for Texas. And you know, Greg Abbott, he's asking people to, you know, pray for Texas, and that's what we need to do. So I was looking up some of the quotes because I was working on a Dragon Slayer newsletter article, and it was interesting because I did not know how much Abbott was pro-Israel. And you know, as I looked at some of this stuff, and it was really interesting because I was looking at that, and I was looking at I ran across an article that I hadn't seen before, and it was talking about how they had taken over $4 million out of the governor's funds to protect Jewish organizations and synagogues. And I thought about the scripture in 2 Chronicles 19:2 that says, you know, bless those that hate the Lord and bring the wrath of God upon you. And that's a subquote. I'll read it here. It says 2 Chronicles 19 says that then Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem, and Jehu the son of Hananiah the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those that hate the Lord, and by doing so bring wrath on yourself from the Lord? But there is some good in you, for you have removed the Ashereth from the land, and you have set your heart to seek God. And I thought about that. I thought about how much destruction do we have in different areas by blessing those that hate the Lord. And it's, you know, that's something that is a lesson that I don't know, I guess maybe God's teaching me, God's put on my heart. And you know, try to think about that on a daily basis. And anytime you're in a situation, it's like, and people, I mean, it's like, how many times do people stop and really think about this? Okay, if I'm going to be a blessing to this person, could this be a trap? And could I be bringing the wrath of God upon myself by helping this person out or doing something good for this person, this organization, promoting this group of people? The other scripture,
definitely,
you know, that I was, you know, I thought about in the midst of that is, you know, Philippians 1:28. We've been talking about it quite a bit too over the last couple of years. And in no way, quote, and in no way alarmed by your opponent, which is a sign of destruction for them, but salvation for you. And this too from God is another. And you know, it's. You know, one of those things that it makes so much sense, and it, you know, our God works on cause and effect in so many ways, and that's the way that He is. And you know, we talk about these things that, you know, we see that are taking place and everything like that. And you know, I don't want to be one of those, you know, fear people that's out there that's just promoting fear. I know that there's a lot of them out there that are, and we've talked about them. Oh, yeah, you know, you need to be doing this, and you need to be, if you buy this, you know, can holder, you can hold so many more number 10 cans of storage food. And, you know, people are, you know, packing food away like crazy. And I mean, just stockpiling it, and you know, they're doing it because they're fearful, and they're doing it out of fear. I you know, we try to prepare for things, but I don't do it in a spirit of fear, because I mean, the spirit of fear, when people are trying to do these things, they've already been defeated. And I think that this scripture really puts it, a lot of things into place, and I think that that's what we need to be doing. And I mean, people need to be aware of things, and there's a difference between being aware of things and being fearfully aware of things. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, the heart condition.
I don't like putting $100 worth of diesel in my truck. I don't do it because I'm afraid. I'm doing it because I know that I'm going to run out at some point if I don't put fuel in it, you know. So same thing, I've seen hurricanes wipe stores clean where you can't go get anything. At some point in time, it's going to happen again. So I try to have some stuff on hand here. And it's not anything about fear. It's just the fact of, hey, this is what we need to do to prepare.
And when you take Josh to a gun show,
take care of him.
Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead, Josh.
You're sounding like more fun.
Well, I was just going to say, when you take Josh to a gun show and he buys another Glock, it's not because he's fearful that he doesn't have enough of them. It's it's not out of fear. he's got another motivating factor, but. If there's a table with a bunch of Glocks on it, Josh is going to be looking at it.
Yeah, and then peer pressure might affect other people.
Yeah. Josh's fault.
There's a lot of times when we have those things laid back and we say, well, you know, I'm not doing this because I deny the power of God. I'm doing this so that if I can help or I can assist or I can take care of, then that's great. And if this isn't available to me, I have no doubt that God's still going to take care of it. You know what I mean? So,
but He expects you to have the oil in your lamp if you can.
That's where I was going. It's still our job to participate, to occupy until He comes. That's what He says. That's a job. That's a really broad description of all the things you need to do. Occupying is like, well, what do I do with that? You know, what do I do with this? I have a family. I have these things. God's given me all this, and my job is to occupy that position and fill it to the best of my ability, realizing that whatever happens, whatever comes, God's going to make up the shortfall. God's going to take care of those things, and I believe that He will. But I also believe that He's given me the opportunity to participate and to help, you know, maybe do some good. You know, I mean, you may be the person that God sends someone to make up the difference for them, you know, because you were
because you were attempting to take care of the things that he gave you and be a good steward and occupy your position.
Well, fear is a natural part of our body. I mean, and whom you fear is who you'll serve. No, it's going to be why you fear whatever. If you fear the future and you're trying to store up food or stuff like that, or if you fear God and obedience and he said he'd take care of us, that's who, you know, whoever you fear is who you're going to serve. So fear is a good, healthy part of our body. It's just who you're afraid of. You know, God says, don't fear man. You fear man, that can destroy your soul. So, I mean, that kind of brings it right back home to who it's going to be that I fear. I see a lot of this stuff. I listened to what our early broadcast about the cartels and all the crap that's coming in this country. It puts fear in you, but the wrong kind. Because, you know, this is Jerusalem, and that's who we are. And whom you fear is who you'll serve. You know, look at the people that cast